Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Chris Evans here with your hot off the press edition of the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up from this week, superstar actors Sally Phillips and Ben Miller paint a picture of their brilliant new feel-good film about a middle-aged interrailing adventure called Off the Rails. Yes, please. England cricketing legend Stuart Broad bowls us over with details of the brand new Edge of Your Seat cricket competition, The 100, on Sky Sports Cricket, and sensationally funny Shaprak Kasandi shares tales from her 20s ahead of her upcoming 28-day tour. It was the 90s. All of that and so much more to come. Now, Vasos, go on, tell us, who's our first highlight on this pod?
We have a lot to thank our next guests for. They have delighted us in everything from Bridgerton to Bridget Jones, and now star together in the delightful feel-good summer sizzler Off the Rails in cinemas from today. Both brilliant, both charming, both acting royalty. Please welcome Sally Phillips and Ben Miller.
Hello, guys. Hi, Sal.
Hey there.
Sal in situ in person in the News Corp Massive right here live at the top of the tower, and Ben somewhere else. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Morning.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm a little bit warm. I'm in Morocco. It was 46 degrees yesterday.
All right. Well, Sal's here. Hi, Sally.
Hey there.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having
us. Now, your premiere was the first red carpet premiere that we've seen for a year and a half in Great Britain.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of weird. It was like very exciting. It was a circular red carpet, which is unusual. And it was, there's no sort of pretending it was like a normal premiere. It was like a half premiere, half ghost town. I really, really enjoyed it. And I went with my son Ollie, who's 16 and has Down syndrome. And he pushed his way in front of the wall of paparazzi and stood there until they took his photo. So Getty Images, they're like, oh, we don't know who he is, but maybe he's on Love Island.
So let's tell everybody the story first of all.
The director had a girl gang and she went interrailing with them when she was a teenager. And they always intended to do it again when they were 40. And they didn't. Life got in the way. And then they lost one of their number. Emma died of breast cancer. And Jules is the godmother to her daughter. And this film is kind of her tribute, her imagining of if they had gone.
I mean, what I loved about it, the initial pivot was fantastic because you go to the funeral and...
I'm so pleased you loved it.
No, I did love it. And then her daughter plays Blondie on the piano, on the church organ, and then you're singing in the pews and that's lovely. And by the way, Dame Judi Dench smashing another, like, you know, cameo as she does in her spare time without even thinking about it.
Yeah, she won an Oscar for An Afternoon's Work, didn't she?
And, she did. Yeah, she
and
did.
Blows us all off the screen.
It's so true though, isn't it? It's so true. And so the three grown-up ladies, her pal, the deceased pals, they get together in the churchyard and Judi Dench, her character, comes out and says, look, by the way, she gifted you these, she left you these, and it's four interrailing tickets for in 5 days time for 6 weeks interrailing across continental Europe. And then you all come up with your nowadays excuses for your characters nowadays excuse for we can't possibly do this because of nothing really, but you're still going with that until you realise there are four tickets and who's the fourth one for, and then sitting on her own on a bench in the graveyard outside the church is her daughter, is your character's friend's daughter, and you have no choice. That is a brilliant reason to go, and then you just hard cut to St Pancras Station and off you go, and we're all with you all the way. It's so cool. And now, Ben, when was the last time you played, not in character, you played, or do you often play guitars in piazzas in Italy?
So I did have ambitions once. I would have loved to have been a musician. So this was kind of my, this was the fulfillment of my blocked wish to be a kind of cabaret entertainer. Yeah, I loved it.
What else do we say about the film without giving... I mean, there's not loads to give away, but they're gentle little secrets and they're gentle little reveals. And we should talk about Kelly Preston because the melancholy aspect of last night, which is reflected in the film, isn't it? Of course, that's how the film starts, is that Kelly's no longer with us. So do you want to speak to that a little bit, Sally?
Yeah, well, it's a sort of horrible irony that this film is... you know, about a group of friends who've lost one of their number to breast cancer. And then, you know, by the time the film is made, by the time the film comes out, we no longer have Kelly, who is, you know, so full of life and vivacious and beautiful. Yeah. And she's the person that makes it look like a proper film. the rest of us Brits scudding around with our wrinkles.
You're
and
great in it.
But she looks like a... She is a movie star.
Of course she is. She looks like a movie star.
She's got movie star face and body and hair.
There are movie stars and there are actors.
Yes.
She's a movie star.
She's definitely a star,
totally.
Yeah.
Totally movie star.
Yes, and we didn't know any of us. I mean, she was so funny and professional in there. And so the other day I was thinking, oh, this is a bit spooky that this has happened. And then I thought, it's not spooky, it's just common. It's just really common.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots and lots of, you know, cancer takes a lot of women. And one of the things that the movie speaks to really well, I think, is the way we, not just women, but the way people sort of it takes a village to bring up a child, the way people sort of adopt other people's children, and the boundaries between families fall down, and you'll become this great sort of mess, loving mess going forward through life. Sorry, I'm a bit hungover.
No. Why do you apologise for everything you say? You're so erudite, articulate,
and
really...
I need help. I need help.
You do. You need to go and see someone.
Do
you know, A, your film's brilliant. B, you're all brilliant in it.
Thank you.
C, you're being brilliant this morning.
Thank you.
Because she's
just going to eat my pan eraser.
Ben, she's a bit down on herself, this one.
She is brilliant in the film. She made me laugh so much. Sally would never stick to the script, always larking around. And the three of them, Chris, were so close. Kelly, Jenny and Sally, and of course Elizabeth, together. They were just so, they became this film. Because they were kind of, you were living it, weren't you? And you were going on all these crazy...
Was it a right laugh?
It was like literally tomorrow we're in Italy, today we're in...
Was it like the Grand Tour?
Yeah, it was, and I think because our director, as you know, it's not that easy for women to direct features. I mean, and so Jules is a very great director, but you are allowed to make documentaries. So she'd been making a lot of documentaries. And so her way of filming was sort of to get us to just be the people and then shoot it as if it was reality.
Well, it's really tight. So, it's really tight. It's really bright. It's gorgeous.
I'm so happy you liked it.
Sally Phillips and Ben Miller starring in Off the Rails in your cinemas today on over 200 screens. Well done, everyone involved in that. And anything else that people are getting on for us to enjoy anywhere.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
It turns out our next guest can talk about cricket just as well as he can play it, which is really rather well indeed. The 100 starts tomorrow on Sky Sports, and here to tell us more is a man that has 99 problems, but a cricket pitch ain't one. He's big, he's bad, he's better than his dad. It's Stuart Broad!
Morning, Stuart!
Good morning. What a welcome that was.
What a welcome, and what a day, and what a week to start the 100. I'm really excited, genuinely, sincerely, authentically excited. How do you feel?
I could sense that. I was listening to the show earlier, listening to you talking about it, and that's exactly what we want from this tournament. You know, everyone talking about it. It is for a new audience, but it's going to be fun, entertaining, sixes, fours, wickets. Cricket and fast forward, really.
It's been a long time coming. It was first whispered about a couple of years ago, I think I recall. So did the pandemic put pay to it being launched last year, perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was due to launch last year. There was a draft done with all the best players in the world the winter before. But unfortunately, COVID hit and the tournament couldn't go ahead last year. So there's been a lot of build up to it, certainly in the players' minds, because you just want to get out there and play. You know the rules, you've looked at the format, and you want to play in front of new crowds and excited teenagers coming to watch it.
So 68 matches, 34 matches for the ladies and gentlemen, the boys and the girls, evenly split. Women's fixture between Oval, Invincibles and Manchester Originals. Is that tomorrow night, I think? Doesn't it start tomorrow?
That's tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to go with Molly. Actually, just sit in the stands and watch it because it's, you know, it's fantastic for the women's game to start the competition off. I think we're going to see excitement throughout the men's and the women's game because we've got some fantastic teams and players. It's quite hard for me. I'm a Nottingham boy, support the Trent Rockets, but because there's been no tournament before, I'm sort of just going in with an open mind. You know, if Ben Stokes is playing for the Northern Superchargers, I might support them. I don't know.
The way you talk about that aspect of it makes me even more excited than I was before, and that was sort of impossible because I love the format. I love the fact it starts at 6:30. I love where it's being played. This sort of worldwide draft of the best players on the planet, and that, this is all true. This is all actually happening. But the forming, the originating of all these brand new teams, it's like the NFL being born in one fell swoop overnight. I mean, this is some launch, isn't it? If this works, this will be massive.
Yeah, it's absolutely brand new. And I mean, I'm doing the T20 International at Old Trafford tonight, and all these England players, straight after the game, will be going all over the country to their brand new teams, which you can only imagine the excitement they would have. Yeah. Getting new teammates, different overseas players, new coaches. You know, we've got players like Owen Morgan, Ben Stokes, Josh Butler, who plays all around the world. Mm. And they're as excited for this tournament as they are for any other tournament out there.
And in many ways, pressure's off, excitement's on.
Exactly, yeah. I don't think anyone's going in with sort of expectations of what a good score should be or how someone should bowl. I think everyone's going in with such a free mind of see ball, hit ball, which is almost the most basic thing in cricket. But because this format, the 100, has never been played before, no one knows whether 100 runs is a good score, 200 runs is a good score. So the players are just going to go out and express themselves and have fun.
Yeah, and strategy can't really fall into place until you see how it pans out, I suppose. So how quickly do you think people or teams will be evolving strategies? Because this is the first one. You know, we're popping our cherry here together with the 100. Again, it's incredibly exciting.
I think that is one of the most exciting things, along with, obviously, the cricket's going to be great fun, but the entertainment around the cricket's going to be great.
It's going to be DJs. So cool.
There's going to be so much sort of entertainment for the crowd in the stadium and for us fans on TV that, you know, it's going to be worth watching.
And for the bowlers, 10 ball overs, how would you feel about bowling a 10 ball over? Or, you know, and what's the maximum you can bowl, you know, in this format?
The regular over, so to speak, block will be a 5 ball, and then at one stage in the 100 balls, the captain can choose to bowl the best bowler 10 in a row. So that's a sort of tactical tweak that the captain and the bowler will decide. If that bowler has got a couple of wickets or is feeling a particular rhythm, you can extend that block of 5 balls right into 10, which the only reason you do that is to try and put pressure on the opposition batters, I suppose.
Love
so
it.
It will be 5 over blocks, and you'll bowl 4 of those, but you might be asked to bowl 10, which, you know, if you're bowling at someone like Andre Russell or Ben Stokes, 10 in a row is quite a tough ask, I think.
It's funny, isn't it? The momentum with the bowler or against the bowler, that's going to be quite interesting. That's going to be a real battle of wits and sort of mind over the particular matter at hand. How would you feel about bowling a 10 ball over? Who would you least fancy bowling against? And by the way, why aren't you playing?
I'm actually commentating on it.
No, I know you're commentating on it. Question still stands. Why aren't you playing, Broad? Are you available for selection or not? Come on.
I'm unavailable for selection because my mindset is very focused on the India Test series in about 2 weeks' time.
There's the grown-up answer. I love a grown-up answer on the radio.
Yeah, but 10 ball over. Yeah, great question. I think Josh Butler scares me a lot as a batter from standing at the end of my mark against him, because he can hit the ball 360 degrees. He can flick it over his head. He can hit it over my head, over the offside, over the leg side. So he's playing in the first game, the men's game on Thursday at the Oval. He's playing for the Manchester Originals. So I think that would be one to tune in for. Josh Butler facing a 10 ball block will be great fun.
All right, well, it begins tomorrow. I'm really excited. You're in the crowd tomorrow. You're having a little look before you commentate on Sunday. So look at the First Ladies game. The 100 begins tomorrow, 6 p.m. Sky Sports Cricket and Sky Sports Main Event. Tickets available via the100.com at all the various venues. 68 matches to enjoy. Well done, pal. Nice to talk to you again, Stuart.
Thank you. See you soon.
Ta-da!
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Blockbuster video, dial-up internet and massive mobile phones. The 90s were ace. And to celebrate that wonderful decade, our next guest is taking her It Was the 90s tour across the UK later this year. So, ladies and gentlemen, it seems perfectly fitting to say TFI, it's Shaparak Kosandi.
Hi, Shaparak. back.
Hello, it's so exciting to be here.
I know you listen to the show every day, don't you?
Religiously, with my children. I'm really stopping myself taking lots of photos of you all to show them when I get home.
Well, listen, thanks so much. And I know you said as much, if not more, a couple of weeks ago when we met at the Marlowe Comedy Festival.
We did. That was so much fun. That was the day England won 4-0. And yeah. That's the game I'm holding to my memory and my heart. What a night that was.
What a night it was for you guys, because there was a big screen and, of course, the game kicked off at 8 o'clock, England versus Ukraine in the quarterfinals, semifinals,
quarterfinals.
Well, it's in the quarterfinals. We didn't know what to do, so we were all backstage and you lot decided in the end to have it on when things important happened, even if you were in the middle of one of your best routines.
Oh, yeah, nothing was more important. And I, when we were watching the game, I thought we need to be 3-0 up in order for the show to go ahead.
Yes.
And we were 3-0 up and we were let go. And I'm not sure if me and John Bishop got off the stage.
So they got off together then.
No, we didn't get off the stage. It wasn't like, and here's John and here's Shappy. We just stayed on the stage for the whole time. And and it was quite hazy. And Tom O'Dell turned up and played Piano Man. And we all sang.
And Imagine was, at the end as well, didn't he?
And Imagine. Remember? And there was like 1,000 deck chairs in this beautiful park.
And cold drinks were being had backstage by people who don't normally indulge in such things. John said he went on stage and said, I don't usually drink before a gig, but, you know, tonight is special. And so he had a couple, you had a couple.
Can we talk about that? It was the 90s.
It was the 90s.
That night.
Has this tour been inspired since then until now, or was it beforehand anyway?
Well, you know what? I think seeing you at the gig as well did take me back. And I was like, come on, Shappy, you used to be able to do this all the time. Right. Forget all your healthy, I'm a mother now. Yeah. Get smashed, get on stage. If you can't do it when England is in the final, when can you do it?
So this tour, it was the 90s. You've really sort of pinned your colours to the mast here. So what kind of stories are we going to get? You know, what particular goal from the 90s are you going to draw from?
Well, you know,
what was the 90s to you?
Well, it was a crazy, fun, damaging blur. It was there's a lot of healing going on now from the 90s.
Right.
It was still worth it.
Yeah.
But I was thinking during lockdown a lot, and I don't know if anyone else was like this, but about my youth. Because you saw all the young people locked in, I just thought, what would it have been like if someone told me in 1996 that I can't go out? Yeah. I would have gone mad, because I don't remember a time in the 90s where I stretched. I went, right, bedtime now. I never deliberately went to bed in the 90s.
No, you'd stretch in the morning going, where am I?
Yeah, where am I?
Which bed is this then?
One morning it was on the floor of the Roundhouse in Camden. Yeah. I've never worked out what happened that night. And so I started thinking about that a lot and how much fun it was and how much more aware young people are nowadays.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it was all fields back then, about their mental health, right? So I was talking to some much younger comics than me, all really successful. And they were talking about the meditation apps that they use to come down after gigs. And I found that fascinating.
I know.
In the 90s, I'd be on stage, I think, brilliant. In 5 minutes, we can go for beers. And they're so into all of that stuff.
And good for them, but it's a different world, isn't it?
What I find is really interesting that's happening is that they find ways to connect and build their own fun and build their own connections. So rather than look back on it like I did for a long time, saying I really wasted some brain cells, I now look back on it as a glorious time. And everything I did was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And for the time it was. And comedy back then wasn't like the slick professional occupation that it is now. It was really punk.
But it is just different. It's more, well, you know, it's more removed safe distance observation, because we thought you had to live it in order to know about it.
Yes.
You know, and that's any rock star will say, you know, it's probably best to be a rock star 2 hours a day, not 28 hours a day.
Yeah.
Right, so how much fun is it going to be, your brand new tour? It was the 90s. Shappy.co.uk for tickets. Come on.
First of all, it's not called It Was the 90s. It's called It Was the 90s.
Oh, sorry.
So I'm absolving myself of any responsibility or guilt of anything. It was the 90s. What did you expect?
The 90s.
It is a trip down memory lane. Memory lane slash memory shame. Lots of the 90s music, lots of the 90s fashion. And
love it.
lots of stories.
Will you be wearing 90s? Are you going to go 90s?
Absolutely.
Are you encouraging your audience to go 90s?
Yes.
Is that on the ticket? Is that like,
no.
Bring the 90s with you?
I'm just not sure if people in Otley Courthouse, my sort of cute little audience, might have the resources to go and get lots of Paisley stuff.
Well, don't put it past them.
Okay.
Don't deal them out of the game. Shelby, it's great to see you again. And thanks for all your... Every time I see you, you say you love the show, so thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank
you
for having
me. All right, so this tour kicks off on London Marathon Day, October 3rd. So you're running the marathon first, then you're going straight to your first gig.
Well, I am doing the half marathon in September. Oh, can I quickly mention that I'm doing the work-in-progress shows at the Soho Theatre.
Yes.
And I'm doing work-in-progress shows at the Edinburgh Festival. And this is not to do with my show, but I happen to also have a book called Kissing Emma coming out.
Which is
September.
Your second novel.
My second novel.
Come back and talk about. Come on and talk about that again.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. So once again, Soho Theatre for tickets for warm-up shows, for Work in Progress and the Edinburgh Festival, and Sheppy.co.uk for the big tour, which starts on the 3rd of October in Battersea Arts Centre in London. It goes to Bracknell, Chipping Norton, loads of different places there. Nottingham, Wolverhampton, Otley, Selby, Newcastle, la 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 la, Halifax, London, Crawley, Folkestone, Mr. Bat 7 out there, and Colchester, Mr. 4 out there, Norwich, Andover, and it finishes in Oxford on 13th of May and 14th of May next year. Sheppy. .co.uk for tickets for It Was the 90s. All right, It Was the 90s. Leave us alone.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky
Virgin Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We've heard from three of our delightful guests already, but still to come, comedian and broadcaster Ellie Taylor turns the pages of her hilarious new book, My Child and Other Mistakes, How to Ruin Your Life in the Best Way Possible. Dr. Jeff Rediger delves into the power of the human body in his new book, Cured. Sky Sports reporter and former rugby player Scott Quinnell is on board the Sky Sports fan van, travelling the length and the breadth of the UK throughout the Lion series for Sky. And president of the British Association of Hair Restoration Surgery, Dr. Greg Williams, takes us hair, there and everywhere with fascinating follicle facts. So let's get right back to it. Vassos, who's next?
Sleepless nights, being covered in various bodily fluids and being unspeakably happy all at once. Ah, parenthood. Her first book, My Child and Other Mistakes, How to Ruin Your Life in the Best Possible Way, is out today. And here to explain that being a parent is, well, easy, is the hilarious Ellie Taylor.
All right, Els.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm delighted to be here.
Well,
thank
we're
you.
Delighted to have you here. Apparently, you once did a pilot for a radio show with Super Sam Pinkham.
Did I? Oh, I did too.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good fun, actually.
Oh, I wish you'd have said no, because he was making it up. So well done for writing your book. I love so much about it. I haven't read it all, but I've read many excerpts from it. My Child and Other Mistakes is comedian Ellie Taylor's wickedly honest, hilarious and moving book at the front line of early parenthood. I mean, that's a war term, isn't it? The front line.
It feels like war at the beginning, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, give us your headline take on it, and then we'll dive a bit deeper.
On parenthood?
Yeah, well, just the whole thing about you declaring you're not going to be pregnant, then you join WhatsApp groups with other women that declare, no, it's not for me, and then one has to gently sort of slip away from the group because she has become pregnant. Oh, no, the wall is crumbling.
Yes, I know. Well, you sort of got, basically, I got to sort of mid-30s and was suddenly like, oh God, I'm going to have to make a decision. Because I think this is something you don't often hear people talking about, is that you think I thought I was going to hit 30 and suddenly become terribly broody, and that just never happened. Whoa. And I think we don't talk about the fact that for many women, it's a real decision to have a kid. You have to go, God, can I be bothered?
Right.
And at the end, I basically thought to myself, well, I can't imagine, this is quite bleak, I can't imagine dying having not been a mum.
So you become married. Then you think about having a baby, and does he have the same kind of trepidation as you?
Yeah,
on
neither.
The baby journey?
Yeah, neither of us like massively into babies. Neither of us had any experience with babies, so it was a real like, oh,
unlike
shall we
his
do
mom.
This or not? Oh, his mum has been gagging for us to have a baby for years.
What did she send you?
On
how to have a baby now?
Yeah, basically, yeah. It was like Christmas Day, way before we had a kid, and she gave us a joint Christmas present of a book called The Baby Whisperer. There was no child. Imagine reacting to that. Like, thank you for that. I did feel like going, well, you know, seeing as we're giving people things they don't need now but might do in the future. He said a pamphlet about picking the right care home. Thank you.
Right, so what happened next?
Then eventually we decided that we would have a baby. And luckily, it all happened quite quickly. Had a very normal pregnancy, very normal baby. And then you get hit with the newborn days, which are apocalyptic.
The reason I love your book and books like it, you know, because everything's happened before, more or less. But it's just the way you first of all observe it and then decide to interpret it and then learn from it.
Yeah, it's not practical. You're not going to learn about how to safely serve a toddler a grape. There's nothing like that. But I think what it will do is act like a companion perhaps to you, like a friend talking to you about it. And it will have lots of experiences which you will go, oh my gosh, yes, that happened. And yes, that's awful.
But also you are a playful person. So, I mean, the thing we're not ignoring here, but the thing that's going unsaid, but hopefully it's coming across, that Ellie is a terrifically successful comedian, and to the extent you've had a Netflix special, one or more than one?
I've had one, yeah. It's called Cravings. I did it when I was pregnant,
yeah.
Actually,
yeah. And so how pregnant were you when you did it?
I was about 5 months pregnant then, right. And I hosted Live at the Apollo when I was about 7 months pregnant.
And were you already being astonished by your own pregnancy? Were you already being taken by surprise then?
I loved being pregnant, and I loved performing while pregnant.
Is it true that Madonna and Jennifer Aniston are like proper super fans of yours?
Well, let's spin it that way. But I think they both have reposted a video that I did as part of a show called The Mash Report.
Right.
It's been viral. It went viral. It sort of pops up every so often when someone big reposts it. So it's a clip of, how can I say this? It's a news reader that I play saying, women are telling everyone to go away, but a slightly rude version of that, and it's just very sort of it's sort of captured the moment, I think. So yeah, I remember Madonna reposted it on her Instagram page on the day I was in bed at my parents. I was about had a 6 week old baby and I was riddled with mastitis and I'd never felt so ill, and at the same time I was on Madonna's Instagram page. It was a very strange experience.
What about Jennifer? Because Jennifer Aniston's very forthcoming. She's a very generous human being with her emotions and with her praise, I think, and with her patience.
Yes, I mean, I'd love to say that I know her intimately, but no, again, she just reposted it. But, you know, in my head, mentally, we're best friends, if that counts.
Yeah. she came into my kitchen once, Jennifer Aniston.
Why?
Well, it was my kitchen at the time. We were both looking at the same house.
Oh, really?
Right. So what's going on career-wise now? Because you are hugely successful. You could be as big as you wanted to be, one would imagine.
Oh, thank you.
What are you doing next?
Well, I'm going to have some breakfast after this. But bigger plans. I'm on tour at the end of the year. Right. Tickets will be on the internet.
Okay. Can I just say ellietaylorcomedy.com?
Yeah.
ellietaylorcomedy.com. Ellie Taylor Comedy! comedy, Ellie, comedy, Taylor.comedy.
I've recalled that and that will be my ringtone, thank you.
No problem. And how many dates and how widespread?
It's only about 15 dates, because it's the end of a tour extension that has just been delayed and delayed and delayed.
Right.
Because of the you know what. So doing that, I'm in a show called Ted Lasso on Apple.
I know you are.
Yeah!
I know. What a show.
What a show. So that starts, the second series starts
Everybody's
tomorrow.
Everybody's raving about that.
Oh,
we had Mr. Sudeikis on.
Jason Sudeikis,
we had Jason on. We recorded an interview with him before the show at 6 o'clock one morning, and he was so nice and so
He's
funny.
He's lovely, yeah.
And I thought, God, this is on Apple TV. I hope it works. And it was a big early doors Apple investment, wasn't it? And
yeah.
I thought, this is so good. But I honestly thought, this is so good, but probably people won't see it, which is a shame, because it's really, really good. But it's caught fire, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Like, everybody in the world watches that show.
Yeah, it's just had, I think it's had 20 Emmy nominations.
I know.
Like, it's gone
very
wild.
Very, very funny.
It's such a funny, and but there's all this, it's got so much heart as well. It's so sweet.
And that's the one thing you didn't expect.
Yeah.
And it's like, hang on a minute. Because I thought we were supposed to not like him. But he's so likeable.
He's lovely. Yeah, he's such a lovely character.
So is that in the can? Is that done?
Yeah, that's all done. So, yeah, second series starts tomorrow.
Good for you. And is there anything massive that you can't talk about?
Probably becoming best friends with Madonna within about 5 minutes of leaving this show.
Okay, I can make that happen. if I don't, I'll consider it a personal failure.
Thank
Ellie,
you.
It's great to see you.
Thank you
great
so much.
Great to meet you. Ellie Taylor, My Child and Other Mistakes, How to Ruin Your Life in the Best Way Possible. Very, very funny, says Joe Brand. And there's no better opinion to be had blurb-wise on the front cover of a book, an endorsement, than Joe Brand's. Ellie, a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Chris. Cheers.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
If you pay no mind to your mind, it might be time to think again. His book, Cured, The Power of Our Immune System and the Mind-Body Connection, is out now. So if you think you feel bad, you have the power to think you feel good. Please welcome the doctor in the know. It's Dr. Jeff Redinger.
Good morning, Jeff.
Morning. How are you?
I'm very well. So did you stay up or have you set the alarm?
I set the alarm.
Right, Jeff, an amazing book. You're an amazing man. Okay, now this is a book you had to write. Was it a religious, spiritual calling? Was it some kind of epiphany?
18 years ago, I had a nurse at Mass General Hospital here in Boston who came to me and asked for help explaining her illness of pancreatic cancer to her son, which I did. But then she took off for a healing center and began calling me and writing me saying that she was seeing some amazing healings and experiencing some healing herself, which I didn't believe was likely to be occurring. Pancreatic cancer is a terrible cancer. Long and short of it is, I got drawn into this world of people who are looking for do-it-yourself solutions to their illnesses.
Now, you're no quack. You know, you are fully qualified in many different realms of what you do for a living. And You went in search of more stories that seem to have genuine, concrete foundation to them, to do with the mind, body and soul, people getting better when really recent history tells us that shouldn't be the case. How surprised were you?
Well, initially it was very confusing to me because it's a complicated area to study and you have to really pay attention to the medical evidence. And it's been a life-changing journey. These are people we should be studying. They're kind of the ultimate achievers in health, and we study ultimate achievement in sports and business. Why don't we study it in health?
So if there was one sort of line of dots that you could join up for us, that's the most salient message you want to get out there, which may still be a theory, but could end up being fact, what would it be today?
Yeah, well, I write about the four pillars of healing and well-being, and certainly nutrition is a massive one. That's a big topic in itself because there's so much misunderstanding. But the biggest ones really get into healing the immune system and then healing our false beliefs.
Yeah,
it's been a fascinating journey.
It is a fascinating journey. It's a fascinating book. You know, the last 3 or 4 years of what you've done, both online and, as I say, with TEDx Talks, is a brilliant interview you can read online, which we'll put up on our Instagram pages after the show. But, you know, again, you allude to the fact, you speak to the fact, don't you, of we love variety as human beings, but we usually only love it if we first of all have security, which is quite ironic.
Yeah.
If we have security, we crave variety. If we have variety but too much of it, we then sort of default back to security. And you talk about this having one foot in the apathy camp, if you like. And what you say is there's a great myth, isn't there? A Greek myth about burning your boats, you know. So you go to the island to fight the fight, but if you burn your boats, you know you've got to win the fight because you can't leave the island anymore. And you talk about that. Just speak to that if you don't mind for a second.
Yeah. So that's it's a famous old story. Cortez, when he had coming up to an island where they were vastly outnumbered, and the people that they were fighting just had a much larger army. And so when they beached, he actually had his soldiers burn the boats. And so they, in doing that, they couldn't retreat to the boats. He said, "You either take this island or we die." And that changed the psychology of things. And this is an analogy to sometimes the changes we have to make in our lives.
Yeah, I love that bit of the book. You know, there's no going, make it so there's no going back, as long as going forward is good for you, ultimately, of course. If you don't mind, can you tell that lovely story, Dr. Jeff, if you don't mind, about the chap who simply changed his name and got healthier?
Yes, and I've seen this quite a few times, because when a person heals their beliefs, sometimes they end up changing their name. And I tell the story of several people in Cured about this. One that comes to mind is Jan. And, you know, she'd been through a lot of trauma in her life, grew up in a really difficult environment. And, you know, there's a lot of trauma in the world. And in the process of healing her trauma, in the process of realizing that she wasn't to blame for what happened, that she was good enough as she is, she had this realization that she wanted to take on a different name to reflect who she is now, rather than who she, instead of the mistaken understanding of who she'd had of herself all these years. And so this new name reflected who she really felt she is now. And she realized that she does bring something good in the world, and it's not that she's always not good enough. And so this new name is a thing that you often see with people, and these deep changes occur in their lives. They die to this old person they were, and they take on a new name to reflect who they are now. And it's really a deeply emotional thing to watch and witness this.
Right, just before you go, Dr. Jeff, and his book, by the way, is full of things like this. Just tell us briefly, humans beat cancer every day and have no idea. I mean, that's a nugget of gold right there.
Yeah, it's shocking that these things are possible for us and we don't even ask these questions or look at these pathways. They're huge. And not just cancer, but see, what we now know is that most of our illnesses, 85 to 90% of the illnesses that people suffer from, including all the major killers, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, autoimmune illness, these are lifestyle illnesses. Genes get turned on and off by our lifestyle choices. And so we need to get proper knowledge out there so people can heal their immune systems, heal their minds and bodies, have a life that feels that's more authentic to them, where they know their value, they build a foundation of what's right about them, and they can live a life that's happy, fulfilling, healthy, with an immune system where the cells are functioning properly, keeping you healthy.
Yeah, and you just feel better. You just feel better moment by moment.
Just feel better.
That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's the point in living
Absolutely.
Longer if you feel miserable?
Absolutely. This is about giving you a health span instead of all these diseases.
How nervous were you for your TED Talk?
I actually was so nervous. I gave a transcript of the copy to my boss because I knew I could be fired for it. And
right.
I was terrified.
Okay. It's so funny. You're awesome. Dr. Jeff Rediger, an excellent guide to self-healing, says Deepak Chopra on the front page blurb. Cured is the name of the book, and it's out now. The Power of Our Immune System and the Mind-Body-Soul Connection. The four pillars to great health.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
When you're looking for someone to talk about hair loss, there is no better man to follicle than our next guest. He's the president of the British Association of Hair Restoration Surgery. So listen up as we go hair, there and everywhere with the one and only Dr. Greg Williams.
Hey, Greg. Hello.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. That's the best introduction I've ever had.
All right, well, you deserve nothing less. And it is about levity sometimes, getting awkward, potentially awkward messages across. We're talking about this now. I am considering hair restoration surgery. I've been on pills and lotion for a while. Is this something you recognise, the beginning of this conversation?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the surgical management of hair loss should come hand in hand with the medical treatment of hair loss. And so there are two licensed treatments. They're probably what you're on, which is 5% minoxidil that you apply as a liquid or foam twice a day, and then a pill called finasteride, which is branded most commonly and well known as Propecia. And really, if men have hair loss, they should consider going on one or both of these from an early stage.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I've been doing for the last 10 years or so. And I'm now thinking to stop taking the finasteride. Actually, I've stopped taking it as of last Friday. If I continue with just the lotion, you know, how effective might that be? And what potential side effects may I encounter?
Okay, so bad idea to stop the finasteride if you've been on it for a while, because the idea is that finasteride is holding on to your hair, and that the transplanted hair will then be in addition to your own hair. If you stop the finasteride, there's a reasonable chance you're going to lose the hair that's genetically predestined to go, and your transplant won't be as effective as if you kept that hair. So number one, my advice is, unless you have a really good reason to stop the finasteride, stay on it.
So I was worried about the side effects of Propecia and how they might be affecting me. Can I get those checked out, my potential suspicions as far as that's concerned? Should I do that? You know, may they culminate in a reason that is that does warrant me stopping finasteride? If I do stop that and I do stop with the lotion, is there any point in me going for the transplant, or could it end up looking like a something that's not so desirable?
Geez, I've got a pea brain, Chris. You have to like ask me one question at a time so I can answer it. There were like 10 questions in there. Like, I've forgotten all of them already.
Sorry, I'm making the most of you. Go on.
Okay, so I'll answer the last one.
Right.
If you have a hair transplant soon after you stopped your medical treatment, then by the time your hair transplant evolves, which can take 18 months, you may have lost a whole wash of hair, depending on how long you've been on it. So really, my suggestion is, if you're going to start the medication, maybe wait about a year before you have your transplant. Now, side effects of Propecia, yeah, this is a big, big deal. And it's really worrying for a lot of guys when they read what's on the internet, because like all medications, finasteride Propecia has real side effects. But the side effects you can get from it include things like reduced libido, so reduced sex drive, reduced erectile function. Now, that occurs in a tiny percentage of men, you know, 2% maybe for each of those. But, of course, it's so worrying. Even the possibility of that puts a lot of guys off. And then there is also a lot of concern about mood disturbances, so low moods, perhaps suicidal thoughts, brain fogs. These are things certainly that I have patients complaining of, but a very small percentage. Topical minoxidil. It's effective, but not as effective, and it's not treating the cause of the hair loss, which is a hormone, and that's what finasteride, the pill, is treating.
So can we do any cross-referencing and cross-checking here or not?
Yes. I don't know if you're aware of NICE guidance, the government's guidance. If you look up, if you just Google NICE, androgenetic alopecia, and there's guidance there for male and females. If you look up the male guidance, this is what GPs follow, and it very clearly instructs there, visible to GPs, but also to the public, that the two licensed treatments are topical minoxidil and oral finasteride.
What's available to us? How long does it take? Does it hurt?
Oh, my gosh, again, so many questions. Yes, it hurts. It's surgery. Of course it's going to hurt. I do just want to mention the mecca that is Istanbul for hair transplant surgery, and you know, thousands of British men going to have cheap surgery overseas, which is just a little bit of a gamble. Again, I'm not saying don't go, just really be aware of what you need to think about and ask. And again, on the Bar's website, there's some good advice to anybody choosing any hair transplant surgeon or clinic, but also if you're thinking about going overseas, then some good advice there on what to look for. And be aware that when one goes overseas to these cheaper health tourism destinations, it's not necessarily a doctor who's doing the surgery. And if you want a really good source of information, you can go to the International Society of Hair Restoration Surgery's website, which is ishrs.org, and you can read for days the information that's there, and it's really helpful.
Now, I know you don't want to specifically say where you work, not because it's a secret, but because you represent the industry as a whole, and that would be unfair for you to use your profile on this program to do so. I think it would be fair enough to mention where you work, but that's your choice, so you don't have to. If people want to find out more, what should they do?
So I would suggest do your background reading. And as I said, the website ishrs.org just has so much useful information. And if you want to find a hair transplant surgeon in the UK, you can go to the Bar's website, and there's a find a member search option you can search.
Bar's, by the way, is spelled bahrs.co.uk. That's BAHRS. It's Bar's with a silent H. Now, before you go, Greg, thanks so much for coming on the show. Thanks for your priceless time. Thanks for gifting that to us this morning. So a lot of dentists have to wear a decent smile themselves because they are their own advert. What's your hair like?
I'm genetically blessed.
Genetically blessed. All right. We believe you. Thank you, Dr. Greg Williams. Awesome.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
He used to talk and play a good game, and now he talks a good game. He is Sky Sports' man in a van for the entirety of the British and Irish Lions series. So here to explain exactly what that means is the scrumptious Wales and Lions legend we all know and love. He's the mighty Scott Quinnell.
All right, Scott.
Good morning, all. How are you?
How's it going, Scott?
Oh, man, it's absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. We've been all over the UK so far.
So what's the point of it? What happens? So we know what's going on. We know you're doing it. But what happens when you land somewhere?
Because we can't go to South Africa this year because of all the troubles that's happening, we've decided the fans need the fan van because they can't get out there. There's normally 35,000 to 40,000 people that will travel to Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. We are taking the fan to them. So we're going out to see the fans and we're trying to see as many as we can. If you see the fan van on the road, give us a toot. And if we're parked up, come and say hello. Because that's what this is all about. It's about going out, seeing the fans and trying to get a little bit of the feeling of being in South Africa. We've got biltong. We've got some great South African red wine. We've got some South African beers on the bus. And we're trying to bring a bit of South Africa to the UK and, of course, Ireland.
OK, now you said it's called the Sky Sports Sky Fan Van, but you just said bus. Is it a cortege? Is it a convoy? Or is the van the bus and the bus is the van?
Well, the bus is the van. The van is the bus. We are a one being and I'm the size of a bus now after lockdown.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those. I tell you what, I was actually swimming in one of the most amazing things. We went to the Isle of Col, where Rob Wainwright lives. And I was swimming with seals, and not seals that are trains, you know, little pups. And there were seals out there, I was swimming. They were coming up, they were bobbing up in front of us. And next week, I'm axe throwing with Game of Thrones. We're going to Northern Ireland, we're doing some axe throwing. So we're just doing things that we've never done before. And that's the wonderful, wonderful thing. And in between that, Chris and Vass, we've got a bit of rugby to do as well, which is very exciting.
And does it feel like being in a band? Does it feel like you're on tour?
It's amazing because there's some nights. We did this in New Zealand in 2017. We've done it a European road trip in 2018. This is our third one. And genuinely, some nights we don't get in until it gets dark. And we wake up and we park by a lock. We were in Lock Christine yesterday. And we walk, honestly, If you're ever in Scotland and you don't go to Loch Christine, it is the most amazing place in the world. There's a cycle path that we went on yesterday. I thought, I'm doing really well here. I thought, I'm really fit. I'm really looking good. And then I brought it back and they told me it was an electric bike. I was so disappointed. It was just... But the vista, the mountain ranges, the loch itself, it's just... We don't realise how beautiful our own country is.
So, Sky Sports, the Sky Fan Van, you're filming stuff, it gets on the air. When can we see it? Because it sounds like a riot.
Oh, it's brilliant. We've got... it's on the live show, so we've done the weekday shows, we've done the Saturday shows, but this week, of course, is the test match, it's the Lions v South Africa. And we've got we'll be in the Linear show, in the show itself. We do a couple of features in the show. But it's also on YouTube. If you go to Sky Sports and you put Fan Van in on the YouTube channel, you can see all of them. You can see the ones from New Zealand, you can see the ones from Europe, and you can see this year's ones now. And there'll be another one loading today. And be aware, there's a lot of flesh in this one because we're swimming with seals. And you may get more than you probably wanted to see, but it's all on there.
I've had friends that swim with seals regularly, or swim where seals are regularly, and they say they can ram you, and they can be quite sort of shocking and surprising. But I think if they're not really aware what they're in for when they try and ram Quinnell. Do they tend to come off worse? Is it the seals that are more surprised in this particular scenario?
Well, I felt like I was in the zoo, Chris. I got to be honest with you, because they were all coming up and they were all popping up, and I don't think they've seen that many tattoos in a while. So I think I was the attraction for some reason. They were popping over and going, I have never seen one of you before. It's quite nice. And then off they go again. Oh, it was just lovely, just absolutely lovely. I was also when Rob, because he's got a farm up there. It was just lovely just to go and bring the cows in to another field. We were doing a little bit of sheepdog training and that type of thing. Do you know things that, you know, either I haven't done for a very long time or things I've never done before? It's just absolutely wonderful.
And is Mrs. Q missing you, or is she happy for you to carry on throughout Europe and the subcontinent or wherever? Man,
honestly, we're so lucky, right, that we, you know, we had lockdown, and we had lockdown. It was lovely in Wales and everything. But as soon as the fan van, she said, "How long you go for?" 6 weeks. And she went, "Oh," I thought, "Oh, darling, it's okay. It's not going to be long." No, she said, "You normally go for 2.5 months." I went, "Oh, thanks." That's nice. I think after the lockdown, she was happy to get rid of me.
All right, we'll give our best to Legs, the cameraman.
I will.
I presume
and Bear's still sleeping somewhere. We can't, you know. He's only just come out of hibernation for this, so it's fantastic.
The sleeping bear. So he's the sound guy, is he?
No. Bear does everything, and he's on camera with me as well.
All right, so Bear's
he's very funny.
I've got to catch up with you and Bear. This sounds amazing. All this YouTube gold for us to watch. And his legs called Legs because of his tripod, or does he just have extraordinary legs?
Well, actually, we got pulled over by police in New Zealand,
right?
And just for a chat, they do like they do in New Zealand. They just pulled up for a chat,
yeah.
He got arrested because his legs were so skinny. They'd never seen such skinny legs in New Zealand.
Suspiciously skinny legs. That's what it was.
Oh, just luckily he didn't notice his nose because he's got quite a big nose as well. So he got away lucky because he's got legs.
All right, good. Well, great. We're up to date with Legs now. And Bear and Scott Quinnell in the Sky Fan Van. So input Sky Fan Van on YouTube. Go on to Sky's homepage and get to skyfanvan.com and just get up to date with the British and Irish Lions tour. The test starts in earnest, or the tests start in earnest, 5 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. Coverage starts from 3:30 on Sky Sports Action/Lions. And that is one of our greatest ever Lions there on your radio. The mighty Scott Quinnell. The mighty Quinn. Come all without, come all within.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.